A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Action Park Media.
Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment. Food as sport. Food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me.
I hate to ask you to do anything, but if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to like, subscribe, rate, review, all of the above on whatever app you're getting it from. I'm very excited today to have Jonathan Tucker on the podcast. He is not only a very talented actor that I have personally had the privilege of working with these past months, but he's also extremely knowledgeable when it comes to diet and exercise, thus giving him one of the all-time greatest physiques in Hollywood, and I don't think that's an exaggeration at all. Today, we're going to talk about what he does personally to stay healthy. You can find Jonathan on Instagram at Jonathan M. Tucker.
Jonathan Tucker, welcome to the American Glutton Podcast.
Well, I don't know how to respond. I feel like it's like, what are the words? Privilege and honor. Long-awaited. I told you I've listened to the podcast.
This has
before.
Been
that
long
was like
for
our initial
me.
Conversation.
By the way, I was shocked to hear that.
Yeah, but you're putting content out there. You got to expect that it finds an audience, right?
Yeah. I just didn't expect the audience to be you.
I mean, what's been great, I feel like we've already done our own, this podcast, or at least the quality of the content of what we hope a good podcast like this is going to be, like 10 times already on this show.
Yeah. So because of that, we're going to have to rehash some stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm aware of that.
Okay.
I think, as I said, I'm not keen on doing, I feel like, you know, you only can do so many podcasts because people essentially are like, I've really heard enough from this guy. I don't need to hear much more. But, you know, the reason why I think this is, could be even helpful for me is simply that, you know, I get asked a lot about the sort of stuff that you and I talk about.
Yeah.
And I'm passionate about it, as I know you are. So if the focus here is like what you and I have both been talking about, then I think it's it'll be a good opportunity for certainly for me.
That's all I want to talk about.
I don't want to talk about anything else, but
how brutal was dinner the other night on set? No, I'm totally kidding. That's a joke. I don't know what, like, that scene we shot was really tough. Tell me about your acting.
Yeah,
I'm
no.
totally kidding.
No process.
No, I don't
no
care about any
actor
of it.
Stuff.
No, I don't care
Let's
about
right
any of
it.
None of that matters to me. I want to preface this by saying,
no compliments. Let's keep,
it's
keep,
be
let's
a compliment.
Keep compliments out.
No, just, I'm not going to not compliment
right through.
I have been a fan of your work for a long time, but I think you have one of the rare things of like a physique that is the most desirable physique in the world. Like I look at you and I see your fucking obliques, dude.
I'm ready to walk out
that's
this door
a big
right
deal.
Now.
No, but here's the point. How do we, here's what I want to know is
did you have that physique at 10 years old, at 15 years old?
No, not at all. And, you know, look, I think if we're going to throw, I mean, the reason why I think your podcast is so successful and why so many people look to you for this sort of conversation and advice is simply because at the apex of body transformation, you know, there's nobody who's done it, you know, more honorably and demonstrably than you. So there's my kickback for
thank you.
A totally
go
ridiculous
fuck yourself.
Comment.
How about
it's
that,
true.
Tucker?
I'll take that. I like that. It's, you know, from Becky. So yeah. We tend to like that sort of dialogue. But I mean, I've always been interested in physicality. I danced ballet as a young kid, and I fell in love with movement and kind of understanding how my body works. And I saw how well that helped me as an actor. And I was always interested in it as an actor, but I didn't quite know how to access and kind of marry the thoughts and the hopes that I had about movement and acting until kind of much more recently. I think I was hoping to find that sort of movement by accident, or I was hoping to find it on purpose, but I was only finding it by accident, like with the shoes you might wear or the wardrobe, or you might get lucky and find some character trait that's in the script that's physical. But now it's so important to me to find that different physicality in characters, you know, just the way you hold your utensils or walk down a street or open a door, things like that. And so the more attuned you can be with your body and know how it works, the better off you are. And then of course you merit, it gets kind of hand in glove with discipline and routine and mental health. And things
for,
like that.
Those for me are the, you know, look, since I was a kid, I was put on programs and all of that. And the discipline and the routine is something that I find to be like now I revel in it.
Totally.
But it's become comfortable for me now. And it certainly wasn't always. So that like
is good comfortable or bad comfortable?
Well, I've learned to enjoy discomfort.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. That's what I thought you meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's this great book. It's a biography of Vince Lombardi by David Marinus, who's a great American historian. And it's a fabulous book to read for anybody. One of the things he talks about is essentially, you know, discipline or freedom through discipline.
Right.
And so that's the sort of comfort I thought you were talking about.
Yeah.
Which is you can drive me anywhere in the world and I'll figure out a way to find a routine that allows me to then enjoy the rest of my experience in that place.
Yeah.
So, you know, you and I are here in Mexico, 3 hours outside of Mexico City. And of course, I happened by myself to find the one gym
that
you are at twice now. Yeah. Right. So those are the sorts of things that, you know, when you look at why why a coach like Lombardi was so successful, this idea of self-discipline, of understanding the larger context of the game. For him, it was football.
Yeah.
And every player would kind of have to learn the entirety of the sport in order to figure out where they are placed in the puzzle. And then this idea of freedom through discipline. And I just think that is so helpful to anybody in any business. It's particularly helpful to actors who are kind of all over the place.
Right.
I've got these two kids, you know, I know you've got kids as well. Like my kids and everything I've read, everything empirically talks about how children love routine.
Yeah.
They love it. They thrive off it. And then we get to this place where like, no, we don't need to do routine. We just want to, you know, I need openness. I can do anything I want. But if you don't find something to structure your life, you don't actually enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's such a huge part of it. I don't know why I had to figure that out myself. And I'm not putting blame on my parents, but do you remember at any point in your childhood or where you were developing this similar kind of point of view that it was a struggle that wasn't good?
Yeah. I mean, it's always really hard to get into that place, what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's just with the, when all of a sudden, I mean, even like here, a good example for me, that I think is helpful for me to see how other people view this conversation. They're like, ah, these jerks, you know, talking about how they enjoy going to the gym or enjoy finding a routine structure and the efforts it takes to make that happen. Right. Cause you don't just wake up and be like, yeah, I'm thrilled to jump out of bed early and go work out before work or something like that.
Right.
And anybody who feels like they do enjoy it, will, you know, screw them. Right. So like running, I hate running. I just, oh my God, do I hate it.
Yeah.
Almost everything about it. And I start hating on runners. Like, I'm like, look at these, you know, look at these guys.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, it's like bicyclists with their dentist mirrors and their cloppity clop shoes and things like that. But I know that when I start running, and I've had to do it for a few gigs, there's a certain, I get to a point in the running over a period of time when I start enjoying it. And then I hate myself. I'm like, oh yeah. God, you've fallen for it. You know, you son of a gun. When you find the joy in the discomfort, in doing something that your mind that doesn't want to do, and that your body doesn't want to do, and you figure out a way to cross that threshold, it's very rewarding. You know, the human spirit likes that. Like, you know, the dignity and self-worth comes from high expectations.
Yeah.
And we see it in lots of different places. You see it in sports all the time with a good coach, good coaching. They believe that you're capable of doing something that either you don't want to do or you don't know if you can do. And it's calibrated the same way that when you go through boot camp or you're in the armed services, they do the same thing. They take this host of different kinds of people and backgrounds, and they've been able to figure out a way in which to put a bar at a certain height where you can reach that bar if you jump high enough, but you don't, it's like, it looks too high.
Yeah.
And we have all these other devices to do that. And it gives us a sense of our capacity as a human being. It's when we stop asking so much of people, where people start to feel badly about themselves.
Right.
And I think, you know, you and I have talked about addiction and drug and alcohol use and mental health. And I think a big part of falling into that is when people don't expect a lot of you, and when you are able to transform that from other people expecting things of you to you expecting something of yourself, is where your whole life becomes so beautiful.
Yeah. I for the longest time, I think I had ideas of what I wanted, and they were so seemingly unattainable that I would just go like, not going to do it. You know, the minute you go, I have this idea that's like 5 years from now, and all the work that is between now and 5 years crashes down upon me, and I become overwhelmed, and I go, hey, fuck that. That's too much. I think the for me, the solution I've found through all of that is have some abstract idea of 5 years. Don't get super burdened by whatever that is. And especially for people who, like, I look at you, I can't even imagine getting to, like, if I went, like, I want to have the same type of fitness right now that Tucker has, that's a fucking big undertaking.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
That could be overwhelming to me. So I go like, what's step one in that?
That's you're absolutely right. And obviously not with in comparison to anybody else, but
no, yes, I'm going to stop complimenting you at some point, but I do. I've seen pictures of you, Tucker, where I'm just like, he's done it all. He's figured it all out.
Well, it's not, that's definitely not true. And but your point, your broader point is so, so critical of, understanding the, what is it? The Kurzweil, the singularity is now the, it's this idea that essentially of exponential growth.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's a lot like looking at how a plane takes off, and you're standing there watching a huge Boeing 747 that weighs hundreds of thousands of pounds or whatever. And how does that thing get into the air? Right. Which is truly like still to me, I find flying like
totally
unbelievable. I can't believe I'm the last person to complain about flights. I'm like, is it safely flying through the air?
Right. We won. Yeah.
It's unbelievable that like human flight. That airplane takes a runway that is substantial to get the speed and the lift that is required for this piece of machinery to literally fly through the air at 500 miles an hour. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And all every single this is across all of nature and business and technology. It's just it's exponential growth. So it's this very, very, very long hockey stick, you know?
Yeah.
And you have to constantly believe in it because it's true. So if you don't believe, you have to start looking at how micro technology for, you know, the microchip essentially has gotten smaller and cheaper, right? Or, you know, cars have gotten more efficient. These are not gradual changes. They are exponential. And so once you then understand that, then you have to have faith. And, you know, looking at like a show like Kingdom, which we've talked about, and when I've talked to other actors who I've helped get to a certain place physically, the hardest part is getting them to do exactly what you just said, which is to understand that it is going to take a certain amount of time. Now, I can, you know, I'm sure a good trainer and can look at somebody and assess their fitness level and say it's going to take 12 weeks to get to a certain point.
Right.
Right. And they can have these sort of benchmarks. The problem is so many people get to like 8 weeks and they're like, I'm doing this perfectly.
Yeah.
My diet's perfect.
We're not there. Yeah.
I see nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and weight of scale is totally bullshit. You know, that's like just the worst metric that you could possibly use. And then all of a sudden they're at 8 weeks and it's like people just give up because they're like, why am I doing this if I don't see the results? And then the plane takes off.
Right.
And it's like, oh my God, look what happened here.
Yeah.
And Instagram can be so detrimental for your mental health. And it can also be so inspiring for fitness. And you got to figure out the right way to use it and leverage it both for the intellectual capital that's on there to help you if you don't have the financial resources. But also to inspire you.
Yeah.
I think your point about taking, you know, this idea the Marines talk about slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Yes.
That is absolutely correct. Because once you reach a certain level, even the fuel efficiency for a plane is reduced exponentially once you're in the air.
Right.
Right. So it takes all this fuel and this huge long runway to get the plane off.
Yeah.
And then, and as you're climbing, boy, it's just burning fuel.
Yeah.
And the moment that you then settle at an altitude, you basically reduce the fuel and you're gliding.
But even there, as your trip progresses, you can fly higher and higher. Correct. Because the fuel is getting less and less, and you're just getting more and more efficient the whole time. I love the airplane analogy. I've never thought about it that way, but like you started talking about it, and I'm like, what's step one to manned human flight? And it's like, turn the plane on. And then you can even go back before that and 100%. Go like, somebody had to have the idea to like, at that point, you've got a plane that can fly. Like what happens before you even have the plane? Like somebody's designing this, somebody's figuring out aviation, like lift and all of that.
And even when you're in the cockpit, you're going through all the checklists.
Right.
The passengers are still getting on.
Yeah.
And you're going through a booklet, checking all the instruments.
Yeah. The lady is literally bickering with TSA and the captain is in there looking and flipping switches and checking stuff. And there's dudes looking at the engines.
Find the gym.
Find
it. Go on Google. Find the gym. Know where it is. Right. You don't even have to go today.
This is a great step one. But I think that's a part of like a mindset thing of like, make the decision. And I think about this a lot because today the decisions are effortless for me. I'm making decisions left and right, and I'm attaining them with some kind of an idea of what that takes, having done various things. It's a lot. And you could get overwhelmed. To a guy who's, or a gal who's, you know, 100 pounds overweight, embarrassed to go to the gym, to say, just like make the decision, find the gym. It's a lot, but that is it. That's the whole game.
Literally open your Google, find the gym. The next day, a week later, I mean, just literally call and be like, how much does it cost to get in? Right. Okay, cool. Just $20. Okay. And how about if I do can I do a 5 pass?
Yeah.
Can I do a week? How much if I do for a year? If I pay for the year,
yeah.
Do a month. Can I get a trainer for a session for the, if I do a year, can I look up Jewish and Irish Catholic? So I'm cheap and right. frugal, but I'm like, can I get a few sessions with a personal trainer if I sign up for the year and pay for the year?
Yeah.
I mean, just start finding out information. And the other thing is, you know, I hadn't thought, you know, it's like, I've been so privileged for so many different reasons, but, you know, I've never been embarrassed to go to the gym because I've been overweight. I have been embarrassed to go to the gym. If it's a combat sports gym and I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
So I understand the humility that's required to walk in, and to essentially say like, I don't know what I'm doing. And in combat sports, you know, you can oftentimes be in a ring in the middle of a gym looking like a complete fool.
Right.
No idea what you're doing.
With dudes who have been doing this for so long that they're like, as though they're experts at ballet. It is a dance of sorts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that. And one of the joys of getting to be a part of the combat sports world is getting to go to different gyms around the country and around the world and recognizing that I have something to learn from everybody.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you are embarrassed to go to the gym, understand that everybody's had their first day in the gym. And that if you're actually trying to understand what you're doing there, even if you're not doing it perfectly, you're going to have the respect of every single person in there. It's these people who walk in the gym that just think, oh, yeah, no problem. I can lift all these things. And they've got bad form. They've got right. no program, no idea. That shows a lack of humility.
Yeah.
And a lack of understanding of what everybody else is trying to do here. It's the same thing of like going to a boxing gym and thinking, yeah, I'll just start working the bag. You look like an idiot and you'll have no respect from anybody.
Right. I experienced the exact same thing with combat sports. And I will say that, and I hate to even talk about it in these terms because I really want to present data that is like, doesn't cost an arm and a leg. You know what I mean? Like any gym membership is going to cost something. A diet does not cost anything. Anybody can go on to a restrictive diet and save money. So like, yeah. you know, and then we can get into like fine tuning it, making it healthier. That
finance is a huge
money.
Part of all of this.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of ways to make it work.
For sure. The combat sports thing, I realized like when I started out, I was so embarrassed. I was overweight that I just did privates for a long time.
Totally.
And then the day I went, like, I'm ready for a class,
yeah.
went into the class and realized there are brand new people in this class.
And I'm so far ahead.
Right. And I didn't have to do this at
Correct.
All.
Correct.
Because nobody wants to hurt you. Nobody wants to see you fail. That's the other thing.
Same thing in the gym, dude.
Yeah. Everybody wants to see you succeed. We're all there for that reason.
Same thing with an audition.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody, that whole room wants you to come in.
I don't know. The waiting room might not want you to succeed.
Yeah.
But the people in the room.
And by the way, the people who don't want you to succeed in the waiting room, no, they're not going to last.
Yeah.
They will not last.
Yeah.
But the people, when you walk in, the people at their job interview, they want you to dazzle them, man.
Yeah.
They want to be dazzled. They've got a problem. They want you to solve it. And when you walk into a gym, you know, people will, if you're open to a conversation, people will help you.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, obviously like somebody will help spot you, but if you walk up to somebody who looks like they know what they're doing, you say, hey man, I don't want to interrupt your workout, but do you think you might give me an exercise? I mean, literally anywhere. What's your favorite exercise for triceps or for back? Yeah. Just one.
I will say the first time that happened to me and the dude was pretty fit.
yeah, you felt
and
good
I was
yourself?
Like, why are you, what? You're asking me? And he was like, yeah, I mean, you know what you look like, you know what you're doing. And I was like, I couldn't own that position. It took a few times of going like, okay, I guess this is how I appear to this guy who I should be asking for advice, but he's asking me. It was a weird feeling.
There's a, there's something I think about all the time. There's this great YMCA gym. I love Y gyms. Whenever I travel, I always like try to find a YMCA gym. Great community, like great people, usually great equipment. It's a great resource. And I was up in Vancouver at the YMCA there on that main drag on the Burrard, I think. And there was a blind guy with his dog and he was at the gym. It's a really active gym too. So this gentleman literally does not know I exist.
Right.
Has never seen me. Will never see me. He's incapable of sight. And there he is every day with his seeing eye dog lifting weights.
Right.
I found it to be one of the most inspiring things that I have ever seen.
Yeah.
And to him, there's nothing extraordinary not even special. He's just going to the gym.
Yeah.
Right. And I was just, if this guy can come to the gym, boy, what are my excuses? Right. Right. I also feel that way. You know, I recently ruptured my Achilles tendon. I saw this guy in the gym the other day up in, who was on crutches. And I went up to him. I was like, I just want to say, man, I've been there. I've been here.
Yeah.
And and having already even done that, I'm just inspired to see you here.
Yeah.
I feel that way when I see anybody who is first time in the gym or struggling with their weight. I look to them and I go, God, I am so inspired. I can do another set. I can do another rep. I'm going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm inspired when I see those people. And I wish, you know, I wouldn't, you know, feel comfortable maybe going up to somebody who's overweight and say, hey, I'm inspired to see you here. Cause clearly, you know, you're trying to get your health back, into your own hands. But I wish they would know that I feel that way. And I'm definitely not the only person who feels that.
I mean, you saying that makes me want to say that because I feel the same thing and I am a little too shy or like I don't want to hurt their feelings or whatever it is. I don't want to set them back. Like I don't want that compliment to be the thing that keeps them from coming back. But I feel the same way as you. And I actually wish there were more. I wish the gym was more filled with people on that path rather than what I see, which tends to be people who are closer to the finish line or whatever that means, or attaining some product.
Yeah, I go to the oldest gym in Hollywood called the Easton Gym.
Right.
It's been there since 1939. My buddy Toby, who has given and sacrificed to keep that gym alive, particularly over the pandemic, understands that he is a community leader.
Yeah.
The gym is a community leader. And the kinds of people that go there are the reason why I enjoy getting up every day and having the opportunity to make some time to be there. It has every age.
Right.
I mean, my buddy Jorge, who's there, is in his 80s. He's a retired actor.
That's awesome.
He's there every day.
Right.
And there's four or five other octogenarians who are there. Yeah. There's every walk of life and stripe, and it is inspiring to be there because of that, not because of the guys who are making $20 million a movie who are getting ready for their Marvel suits who are also there.
Right.
I am not inspired by them.
No.
I mean, and I'm not saying this for the podcast.
No,
not inspired by them.
If $20 million and world notoriety are not enough to like that to me, I'm like, yeah,
you fucking
better
day.
Look great for that Marvel
movie. You
know,
the doctor who's on call at Cedars.
Yeah.
The plumber who just came in the middle of the night, got the call, to fix somebody's pipe, you know, leaking pipes. Those are the people when I see them at the gym, I'm like, this is what this whole thing is about. And it's just a conduit. You know, I mean, that's what you and I've talked about. It's a conduit to better understanding who you are and what you're capable of and for making, you know, giving your brain and your soul the opportunity to be at its very best. Your soul does not shine when you feel badly about yourself, and it doesn't have to look a certain way. I mean, we know, by the way, empirically, like you're not going to die earlier because you have essentially a little bit of extra weight, or you don't have a perfect body type,
right?
What we think of as today.
Yeah.
We know that is absolutely not the case, but you want to be healthy.
Yeah.
Right. And when you're healthy and you're disciplined and you've got a routine, you're going to be better at everything in your life, personally, and professionally and spiritually.
Yeah. And as we move, as society progresses and we move further and further away from the need to move our bodies to exist, you know, that need has been taken away. We're not out, you know, the worst we're going to do is have to walk around a supermarket to find food. Right. And
that's, I mean, by the way, it's funny because I talk about math all the time, but like this. You know, I grew up, I'm sure you did too, when you were in a math class and the teacher's like, well, you're not going to have a calculator with you all the time. Right. I'm like, well, actually, it turned out
multiple.
Incorrect. Yeah. Multiple calculators.
Google for the hard stuff, for the stuff the calculator doesn't do.
Right.
Yeah.
So then if we're going to teach math now, it's really something about, it's got to be a way to train your mind.
Right.
Right. It's a mind training exercise.
Yeah. How do you do these puzzles?
That's exactly what this is now. It's not a practical application anymore. And for the most part.
Yeah.
The same way, I think, going to the gym in that context that you shared, that we don't need to go to the gym anymore in order to get our food.
Yeah.
or two for most of our professions. And certainly there are some professions that demand it, but then why are you going to go?
Yeah. Right?
And now it has a different calling.
Right. Yeah. I just love the ritual of having something every single day that I know will improve my day. Like coffee improves my day a little bit. Food improves my day, certainly. And obviously without food, my day sucks and I'm grumpy and all of that. But like the net benefit that I get out of my hour at the gym, or if I have extra time, my 2 hours at the gym.
Or baby, if you got 30 minutes,
yeah.
If you got 20 minutes.
Yeah, the day is better.
If you got 15 minutes to do some, you know, if you've got 10 minutes in the bathroom to literally just do some squats in front of the mirror, it sounds so stupid.
Yeah.
People are like, what an asshole. But dude, you do 10 minutes of squats.
Your day is better.
You ain't walking.
Right.
You're not, you know, yeah. Sometimes, you know, when you shorten the amount of time that you have to do something, the more focused you can be on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is a valuable thing to talk about. I wish everybody was inspired to go to the gym.
Or do something physical. And I will say though, I am not I am, as I've learned more, weight resistance is mandatory in my world.
Me too.
I'm saying in my worldview.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you look at the people who run marathons, all these people are like, yeah, I'll just run. I do not believe that is what we should be considering fitness.
Right.
Running has not demonstrably shown to be the means in which to get healthy. And you certainly don't lose a lot of weight doing it. It's not, if you don't actually run properly, it's not great for the body.
For an overweight person, it would be the very last thing I would suggest as a form of exercise.
I'm so glad you said that, because I agree. And I've seen it. I mean, all you got to do is go sit in a marathon.
Right.
And you got people who've been running for months.
Yeah.
Disciplined running. Some of the worst out of shape people I've seen. I mean, there's a whole group of fabulously in shape people.
Yeah.
But it is not an indicator of health.
I mean, and those who are like the top of their class, I think could even be considered underweight.
I think running is a great thing to do in general. It's a nice supplement to weight resistance training.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I say you have to know what you're doing, to the point of like, when you go to the gym, you don't just throw on a pair of, you shouldn't just, it's not like throwing on a pair of sneakers and just running, right? You actually have to know what you're doing with some of these dumbbells and barbells and certain machines. And that's where, like, right now, YouTube is so valuable and it's free. Instagram is so valuable and it's free. You can create a new account on Instagram. It's another account, not your own. Or you can figure out a way to do a different folder on the saving of posts. And you can start following some physical fitness influencers or other, gym sites, whatever, you know, physical fitness stuff. And you can start saving those posts. There's a good back exercise or a good routine for your arms, or this is how you use that machine. I'll just click save, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, after a few weeks, you're going to have a whole bunch of content that you can look to at the gym, and it's free.
Yeah.
And you're going to know what you're doing. And some of these people are fantastic. You know, retract the scap and drop your elbow and, you know, pull from the hip and all these things. You're like, oh, okay, well, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
And knowing what muscle you're working and trying to concentrate on it.
Mind-muscle
connection is a real thing. I want to shit on running for just one more minute.
I'm happy to do it, but I don't want to get feedback from runner's world.
No, I don't think we will. Because look, if I agree with you. If it's something that is ancillary to other stuff, I think it's great. But for me, I've found the ability to track progression becomes difficult with running. So I think it's very important to not be static with what you're doing. You can't just do 100 pushups every day and say like, that's all I'm going to do. Or
that's right.
Or take 135 pounds on the barbell, 10 reps.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't say this, you're absolutely right. I wouldn't say, the same way I'm talking about running, I wouldn't say you should just do pushups. That's exactly right.
It's easier, I have found, with something like running to go like, I'm just going to get on a treadmill, set it at 6. I could never set it at 6. I'm setting it like 3.5 or 4, to be honest with you. But set it at 6 and run for 20 minutes. And that's what I'm going to do every day, day in, day out. Your body is going to figure that out And the benefits that you get in the beginning are not going to be the benefits you get a month later. It's going to be night and day difference.
I love the idea of getting on the treadmill for 20 minutes and then going to lift weights.
Yeah, me too. It's a great warm up. Yeah. And I think a little bit of cardio is good. I think what happened for me was I get on my bike, I ride at like the same cadence for a certain distance, and then I ride back, and maybe at the end of a certain amount of time, I'm doing it a little bit faster, but the benefits have slowed down so greatly because I'm not, the ability to track progression I found was a little bit more difficult. So if you're going like, I'm going to do intervals of, you know, I think HIIT training can be really cool for cardio, but like just when you hear about, I spend a half an hour a day on the treadmill and I'm, it's doing not what? Doing anything for me.
Yeah. Look, I mean, if I need, for me, and for, I prefer to add the cardio. I'd rather do some deadlifts, less weight, just like really, but challenging.
Sure.
I will be out of breath in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I do like jumping rope. I find that helpful with cardio. You know, there's obviously a difference between that long, slow, getting the heart, you know, slowing everything down. And then there's a difference in getting the hit stuff.
Yeah.
But I just don't think, I think people believe that they know how to run. So they just throw on their sneakers and that's how to start their
right.
fitness journey. When I was lucky like you to be able to afford a trainer starting out. My buddy, Ryan J. Farhoudi, the best of the best. You know, he really taught me how to lift weights.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of young guys, or gals might have that happen in high school with a coach or a sports team. But if you don't have that and you can't afford a trainer, which is the majority of, people, and certainly, was never something I thought I'd have the financial resources to accomplish. Now with social media and YouTube, there's really no excuses.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the knowledge is out there and you can do it. I think one of the things I talk about a lot, and we were just talking about this before we came on the podcast, was having a plan. And, you know, mental conditioning is so important to all of this because you can get that extra rep out if your mind is there with you, right? Yeah. If it's all about getting to a place of discomfort, and how much further can I go to discomfort? Then it's not about doing 8 reps as long as it means, that 8 reps doesn't get you there.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't care how many reps it is, as long as I can get to a place where all of a sudden I don't believe I can do it anymore. And then I push through.
Yeah.
That's where all of it comes, you know, the change in your body comes. It comes in those and usually if you time it out, which is so funny, it's literally a few seconds.
Right.
We're talking 15 to 30 seconds is the difference between your body meaningfully changing and not.
Right.
And, when you, I think I might've lost track where I was going. If you have a plan, right, it means that you think, okay, tomorrow I'm going to get up at this time and I'm not going to want to get out of bed. But I'm going to do it. And I'm going to have my water right by my bed. So I'm going to drink that big thing of water right before I get up. And then I'm not going to look at my phone. I'm not going to turn on the TV. I'm not going to read the news, but I'm going to go right to the gym. I'm going to get in the car. I'm going to turn on this music when I get in the car, because this music gets me up. Right? And when I get there, I know that woman always wants to talk to me when I check in, but I'm not going to talk to her. I'm going to go straight through. And the first exercise I'm going to do shoulders.
Right.
That's what I'm doing tomorrow. And I'm going to do this is exactly the sort of exercises I want to do. Maybe you have them in order. Maybe you just know what they're going to be. But all of a sudden, when you've thought through what it's going to look like the day before, and you know, and you start to circle into what the challenges and the hurdles are going to be to in between, you know, getting from when you get up to when you get there, and you start planning how you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and that's sort of like mental conditioning. It sounds really silly, but it will change your life.
Yeah, it doesn't sound silly to me. It sounds like the way to win.
It is. It is. You know, you read Tim Grover, who wrote these 2 books, Relentless and Winning. Winning just came out. He was Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Wade's mental conditioning coach. Dwayne Reed in New York.
Right.
This is a guy who understands that there are habits and systems and protocols and ways in which you can create championship habits on and off the field.
Yeah.
And the mental game of this is exactly what you just said. It's about winning.
Yeah.
And winning is going to be different for everybody. But if winning, it means getting to the gym and focusing on what you're going to do for the limited time that you have, and people's schedules can be so challenging, and you're not going to get caught up on your phone or getting caught up talking to your buddies, or not have the enthusiasm that's required to carry out the day, then you're gonna be in trouble.
Yeah, this kind of structure for me is the only way I can do it. And listen, I'm an actor. So as you know, we are presented with situations where we're given a lot of time to sit and do nothing. That is so dangerous for me. That is when I'm...
It's dangerous for everybody. Anybody with just without structure, they're not going to be operating at the best, they're at the greatest capacity.
Yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction. And free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I mean, truly, and people's schedules are, you know, that people recognize when they have less time to do things, they're more productive. If you have to go home and you only have an hour to prepare for that meeting, you're going to crush that hour.
Yeah.
You know, you got 3 hours, you're going to spend all this other time, you know, doing other things. And then you might squeeze in 20 minutes.
Yeah. 2 hours on the phone, which fucks up your momentum for the hour that you spend working on the meeting, and your energy is off and everything else.
But this is human nature, right? That's what's important to recognize, is that it doesn't matter what your cultural background or economic situation, the color of your skin, your religion, we all have our self-worth is determined by high expectations and then accomplishing them on your own, essentially.
Yeah.
Right. That personal drive, that sense of self-discipline. And we like to be productive, and productivity is all, we often find that if you set a certain amount of time or have a structure, that you will be more productive during that period. And if you circle the thing, you know, it's only a problem if you don't recognize it's a problem. Like, I have a problem with my keys.
Right.
I just will put them down places. And so I have a tile on my keys now because I recognize that I have a problem, but now it's no longer a problem because I know where my keys are. If you have a problem, like you can't motivate to go to the gym, you find what's going to motivate you, whether it's music or caffeine or a buddy who's going to call you and text you, or a buddy who's going to pick you up, or your wife's going to dock something from you.
Yeah.
She's not going to cook you that certain thing that you love, whatever it might be. If you can't identify what the problem is, and you can't solve for it, then it's a problem. But you can have a whole host of issues, man. I mean, a host of them, as long as you know how to address them.
Right. Yeah. I also like to have some kind of a plan for when my plan goes to shit. because
plan B.
Yeah, plan B is plan
what does
B
that
is
look
key.
Like to you?
So like if we're saying like I'm gonna have my water next to my bed right. and I'm gonna get up, I'm not gonna look at my phone, I'm gonna go to the gym, I'm not gonna talk to that gal that wants to ask me
be
what
specific.
I'm doing.
You gotta be yeah. real specific.
All of that. So then I go like, well, what if my water gets knocked over in the night? My phone has some crazy alarm going off, so I'm forced to pick it up and confront it. And then I walk in and that person says hello to me. She goes to say something else, but I beeline, so I've broken contact with her. And then there's a dude like standing
but you're
in front
doing
of
it, man. You're already anticipating the problem.
Yeah.
And it's not even a plan B.
Anything that comes up, I'm going to crush that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about, though.
And then something I cannot foresee. See, this is the thing I like to do because I go like, I want to picture every bad habit I have.
Yeah.
And I want to start thinking about how to beat
them. How do I solve for it?
And what habits, what can I do to improve upon that? And then I go, at some point, I cannot find all of these bad habits until they just present themselves to me.
But this is like a good fighter. I mean, this is the inner game of tennis where all of the work that you've already, which is another, the best book ever, The Inner Game of Tennis.
I got to read that one.
It's Tim Galway or Galway. Life-changing book, Tom Brady book, Jordan book, you know.
Yeah.
You have to allow for, you have to be so present in the moment that all of the work that you've done organically finds itself on the day. And if you talk to any champion in sports in particular, particularly in fighting, you know, that week before the fight, it's a time to relax.
Yeah.
You're not going to learn a better hook. You're not going to have a better, figure out a better combination. You're certainly not going to learn anything else new about the guy that you're fighting. It's a time to relax and be present and not allow your ego to find itself, not allow fear to set in. The work that you're going to do will find itself organically on the day.
Yeah.
And you've got to be open to the moment and open to the situation. I mean, the guys in the armed services who are on mission, special forces, we've talked about this, you know, Ethan, like those guys are loose, man.
Yeah.
Because they're open and situational awareness is critical. So the best, you have a game plan, you know what the target is.
Yeah.
But you don't know what's going to come up in between now and then. And if you're so focused on the game plan that you're not open, then you lose for those, you know, for a guy who's on target, you know, you're going to lose your sense of peripheral vision. You can't smell as well. You don't, you're not as aware.
Yeah.
We got to be aware in our lives. Otherwise, we're going to lose the magical brief time we have on this earth.
That's right. I always think of when we talk about loose and rigid, and I think about Nassim Taleb, who talks about anti-fragile. And so you know, if you think about a substance, an anti-fragile substance actually becomes stronger with pressure versus a fragile thing will break. And if he says people are anti-fragile. When you put pressure on people, they actually become stronger. And it's the same thing with a plan. If a plan is so rigid that one thing falls out, and if you can't have that one step fall out without going, I'm going to divert and go, I have plan B, C. And by the way, I have a plan for when no plan is available. Then I have a plan too. That's more anti-fragile. That's something that's going to improve with a little pressure. I like that.
But that's what I'm talking about when I say expectations.
Yeah.
You know, when you put when you have a routine and you have a schedule.
Right.
That's where you end up getting exactly that sort of pressure that makes you perform better.
Yeah.
We want to perform at a very high level. You know, it's fun to act in a small room with just your buddies. And I do love that.
Right.
But I also want like all the fun tools. I want the wardrobe. I want the hair makeup. I want the props. I want the production design. You know, I want all the fun stuff, man.
Yeah.
It's fun to throw a football around with your buddy, but it's also fun to play in the NFL.
Right.
And that line of pressure is a privilege is dead on.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about acting so much, but it made me think like we're doing a scene the other night and we're watching a house burn and like we could fake watching a house burn, but how fucking cool is it when the house is burning and
that's
you can
right.
feel the flames and it's like that adds something to it. Okay. Let's talk about specifics. What do you eat? And are you like, dogmatic. We've talked about this before, but like when it comes to like nobody can eat goji berries or everybody must eat goji berries, like how do you deal with that? Because that in Hollywood, that you can like, you could see people kind of co-associate based on like how they eat.
No, I mean, I think the only thing I mean, it might be dogmatic on is your focus should be on like renewable, sustainable, ethically raised like livestock.
Sure.
And agricultural products. It doesn't mean all the time, you know, you got to do the best you can do. And I'm all about the best you can do. I think that the advice on diet is that you've got to find a system that's that allows you to be compliant. So what allows me to be compliant is I saw you got, I don't like plastic. I saw you got some plastic in that bathroom.
Plastic right and left. Yes.
And I'm a glass and metal guy.
Yeah.
So I've found that my mason jar system has been the best one that I've been able to find. I have a koozie. I do the big mason jar, which I think it's 24 ounces.
I would just want to say for the record,
36 like, ounces.
I am very specific about the stuff I have, the stuff I bring
to
work.
Going to get my mason jar.
Yeah. The stuff that I take on a car trip, the stuff that I have with me at all times. I feel that I'm like very diligent with this. I fail utterly because Tucker always has stuff with him and my shit's always in the trailer or in my hotel room. And then I'm go like, I wish I had that thing that I would be taking a sip of it right now. Where's my water? Like this is a plan that failed that I actually very much admire your diligence with.
So
that.
This mason jars, the big mason jars, and mason jars have wide rims or lips and then regular lips or rims. I like the regular because they're just a little smaller. And this mason jar holds essentially like at least 4 to probably 6 large cups of tea.
Yeah.
So if you go to like your Starbucks or you're on set and like they give you like one cup of tea, I get like 6 of these in here.
Yeah.
Right? And it's also the same thing with water. And I use it all. It's with me all day and all night. I also have the koozies. I buy mine from jarzy.com. J-A-R, like there's like a dash in there somewhere. But if you just search for like mason jar koozie for the big ones, that allows me to have put hot and cold liquid in there without and being able to hold it. You don't want to give a big mason jar to a Starbucks barista and have her burn her hand off. I like it because it's glass. I like it because of this amount that I have in here. And then I can fill up mini mason jars, the really small ones, which only have a few ounces in them with that bulletproof kind of fatty drink that I do. But I'll fill this entire thing up with some tea, gentle tea that steeps overnight so that in the morning or water if you don't have tea, so that in the morning I literally wake up and drink an entire large mason jar of water.
Right,
water is so key.
And that's like 32 ounces.
I think it's maybe 40. I think it's close to like 30 or 40 ounces.
Okay.
When you fill it all the way to the
top. It's a big mason jar. Yeah.
So I love this and I can keep it clean. You can keep it clean. You can put it in the dishwasher. And then after that, you know, I always use caffeine to go to the gym unless like I'm on vacation and I want a coffee in the afternoon. I don't drink coffee in the morning, but if you do drink coffee in the morning, then I think like you want to go to the gym in the morning if you can. So I use caffeine really only before I go to the gym. And if I'm not going to go to the gym, then I'll just use hot water or like a matcha tea with this fatty drink that I do in the morning, which is the 2 ounces of grass-fed unsalted butter. I do a few big scoops of this cacao powder, which I really like, and a few big scoops of collagen powder and a little bit of cinnamon for health, not for taste. And I literally take the mini mason jar and it fits perfectly. I turn the big mason jar upside down. I put it on top of the mini mason jar, which is tiny. And then I, you know, reverse the two. And then I pour the MCT oil in, which is 2 ounces of MCT oil. And then I just fill it up with water and I shake it. And I'm like, good to go.
And that's your drink. Yeah.
And that's my drink. And if I stay really well hydrated and I get up in the morning, I probably don't need to have that until a little bit later. If I'm going to go to the gym, then I'll have it right before I go to the gym. And then essentially I just drink a lot of water and tea and some green juice with no sugar until I get hungry, which tends to be. And then I can start to kind of play around with my hunger. So I'm not freaking out. But Can I go a little longer? Can I have a little more tea? Can I have a little water? Can I have, you know, now I'll start doing like a little bit, if I'm at home, like I'll do a good pickle or some like good sauerkraut just because I like the salt.
Yeah.
And it's a probiotic and it also doesn't break that keto sort of thing.
Right.
I never really get to ketosis because I find that just brutal.
Yeah.
And I also just don't want to worry about what I'm eating. So if I surround myself with healthy food, then great, I'll eat it. But dude, I'll eat pizza and I eat pasta and I eat dessert. And I don't worry about what time I stop eating at night. Because I'm focused when I go to the gym and I go regularly. And, if I'm basically not eating, I mean, it's a high caloric, content for the fatty drink, but it's not,
and there's a big gap.
Well, there's just a long amount of time and right. There's no carbohydrates for such a significant period of time.
Right.
From let's just say if I get up at 7, which I generally do with my kids. I mean, I'm more than likely not going to have any food until at least 2 in the afternoon. And sometimes I'll go till 3, 4, 5, 6, sometimes depending on where I'm going to go eat that night.
Right.
I mean, it becomes, again, this is where that thing goes. It's like there, you do cross a line at a certain point where it becomes fun.
Yeah.
I go, oh, I'm going to go to Felix tonight for dinner in Venice. It's yes. Italian, it's pasta. That's all I'm going to eat is pasta. It's the best pasta in the world. And, you know, Chef Evan is going to be whipping it up. So I'm going to see.
Evan Funk is the best badass. In the world. Yeah.
He's been very inspiring to me as a human being. His consistent focus on maintaining quality.
Yeah.
So many people reach that level of success and then don't show up to the restaurant
right.
to cook anymore. I mean,
and also I found a lot, like the chef gets to be that badass point. And then it's just like, how do I cut stuff
that's
to
right.
make a shitload of money?
He literally just wants to make it better and more exacting,
yeah.
which is fractions of a percentage point. So if I'm going to go to Felix and have Evan pasta, then it's like, oh, well, this will be a fun day tomorrow. Like, I'll see if I can really cruise all the way till dinner
right.
with this fat. And by the way, maybe I'll have 2, but not normally. It really just comes down to staying hydrated.
Yeah.
I'm really, really well hydrated. And if I get hungry though, dude, I'm going to eat. Like this idea of, you know, you really have to listen to your body. And there's some days I'm like, I wake up, I'm going to have breakfast.
Yeah.
Or if you're at something like the other day, I'm like, I'm in Mexico and this seems like a great restaurant for breakfast. So I'm just going to do the breakfast today and I'll eat like an animal today. It's all good.
Right.
Your mental health is just so, so important. But this system that I've had for me has been absolutely I don't ever need to change it. If I find something better, maybe I will. I'm good on the supplements, you know, and I pre-do the supplements. So, I have like just a little plastic container that I'll line up 30 of them, like a little bottle. And I'll fill each one up with, the supplements for the day.
Yeah.
And I don't kill myself if I don't get it, no problem. But, and I pre-do the mini mason jars with the fatty drink.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Yeah. And I really enjoyed, our conversation about supplements too, because I don't really take supplements, but you were kind of like, I'm agnostic.
I don't feel the difference.
Right.
I feel the difference with creatine.
Yeah.
But if I take my Hawaiian blue algae pill, I don't feel the difference. I don't feel it with the omega-3s. I don't feel it with the vitamin D.
I don't want to be a god, you know, we don't know.
Maybe I should have taken those supplements. I would have gotten squeezed out a few more years with these beautiful grandchildren.
Yeah. I really appreciate that, man. I think there's a version of that my wife does, although she seems like a very much a zealot. Sorry for throwing her under the bus. And it's like, this is absolutely what this thing is going to do. And I'm just like, I can't get there mentally.
I mean, a lot of doctors are like, it's just very expensive pee.
Right.
But I don't, you know, I will say this, I am able to afford it.
Yeah.
So that is a barrier for a lot of supplements though. Costco's got that Kirkland brand seems to be very well reviewed. But I follow something like this. I think it's called Consumer Labs. It's a subscription program and you can go on and like look, cause they independently test a lot of, all these supplements and it is helpful, because it's unregulated, which is just a shame on our country.
Yeah.
That the state of Utah particularly. So
they can just throw, it's just, you know, baby laxative or
it's
something.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I do feel creatine. That is definitely a helpful supplement and the rest. But again, my system, the by pre-making the fatty drinks every, so I can just have them in a whole bunch of mason jars, little mini mason jars, and then have my big mason jar, and to have the supplements pre-done, that makes a huge difference in me being compliant.
Yeah.
I mean, a huge difference. And if you're not, you have to figure out how to have a system that works for you.
Yeah. You said Costco, and I had this thought back before when you were talking about people who inspire you at the gym. My favorite dude to ever work out with was this guy, George, the butcher at Costco. And he would always be in the gym before work. And I knew, like, fuck, if I work out with George, I'm going to work out harder and faster because he's got to get to work. And I don't have to get to work today. So I'm going to work out with George. So shout out to George.
Shout out to George. You know, I think it's the same thing with meditation, right? People feel like I don't have the time to meditate. I've got so much on my schedule. And I'm like, I live in the real world, dude. I'm not saying this like Hollywood, LA. Like, sure. I understand people's schedules and having kids too. And how tired you can be and like how they can throw off your schedule.
Sure.
You know, if they get up late.
It becomes their schedule, really.
Yeah, well, you're on God's time.
Yeah.
There's this great book called Domestic Monastery I just read, which was like, it was this idea of people go off. There's all these religious practices where they try to get you to a higher level of consciousness, but ultimately all of the principles and elements and devices that they're using are what it is to be a parent.
Yeah.
And one of those is recognizing that you're on God's time. So you have a monastic bell, which means the moment you hear it, you put down your pen. You don't even finish the actual letter
right
on the paper. You put down your spoon in the middle with the soup and you move on to the next activity. Because you're on God's time. It's the belt. Well, when your kids are screaming and yelling or they need to be fed or they need their diaper changed, like you recognize very quickly it's not your time.
Yeah.
But so I just want to say, like, I appreciate how tired you can be and what schedules look like. And I can appreciate people say, I don't have time to meditate, but they don't or go to the gym. And it's the same thing. It's like, it is it's a slingshot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You feel like you're going back because I don't have the time. What am I doing? You're going back. But then the moment you let go, you go flying forward. When you take care of your body, you will feel better. Your experience with your kids will be more fulfilling.
Yeah.
You will sleep better and you will eat better. And it is hard to understand that, but the same conversation about how long it takes to actually see a difference in your body with eating perfectly and going to the gym is that you have to have faith that this works. And the faith comes from either just believing or looking and speaking to other people who have been there who can tell you unequivocally that this is true. And if you've done it once, i.e. you've gotten into a certain level of shape one time, you know exactly what that schedule looks like and how long it takes to actually see it. And then you're like, oh yeah, I know exactly.
And it can be hard for somebody who was in shape in high school or something who's really let themselves go to go like, God, I was working so hard. I can't confront doing it again, but just get to the moment. Just try to remember the moment of actually being in shape and go like, it doesn't matter what the runway is. Get back to that because you're going to feel better. And great point about not having enough time, because I think this is what you're saying. Like once you figure it out, stuff falls into place.
Well, yeah, there's these Instagram guys, you know, they're like, you make the time.
Right.
Like, you get up at 3 a.m. You get up at 2 a.m. I'm like, bro, if I'm going to get up at 2 a.m. and go, like, it's the hustle. It's the drive. You're in beast mode. Are you in?
Yeah.
Yes, it's very nice to be in beast mode. I get it. And like, I understand that hustling is like 3 hours a night of sleep. Jeff Bezos is saying, you know, he says, look, if you're making executive decisions, that's your job, right? Parents are making executive decisions, CEO level decision. You need some time to sleep, man. He's like, I sleep 8 hours a day, make good decisions. That is a slingshot decision. You are going backwards to make better decisions moving forward.
Right.
When you understand that if you take 20 minutes a day to meditate or 10 minutes, you know, I try to do 20 minutes twice a day. I do TM. I think we talked about it. It's a very important part of my life. If you figure out that you can go to the gym, whether it's an hour a day or it's 20 minutes, if you say I'm going to devote 15 minutes to doing some sort of an exercise, you will find out immediately how much better you feel and sleep and eat.
Yeah.
And that is the sort of like beast mode that I'm talking about. But you have to understand that it's all integrated. What you're eating, how you're sleeping, what you're doing physically will have a tremendous impact on your body and your mind and your soul.
Yeah. Jonathan Tucker, thank you so much.
American Glutton.
American Glutton. Yeah. Let's get life on beast mode.
Can you just tell me when you pick the name American Glutton, I mean, what are you using to define glutton in these conversations?
Well, okay, and this my wife has brought up a few times, but I am.
Like, are we covering material that's already been covered?
No, on the podcast? I don't know that I've ever been asked that actually. Still feel very much like a glutton. Now I'm a glutton for high protein, low fat, moderate carbs and lifting weights. I've been a glutton for drugs and alcohol. I've been a glutton for, this is just a kind of a recurring theme in my life. I can be a glutton for philosophy or, you know, science fiction or riding a bicycle or eating everything in sight and becoming very obese. So it's something, it's like the sin I associate myself with most, if we're going to go down that path. I don't know if it's a sin for, you know, I really like the way the Jews do religion, where it's like, these are our rules. We have a lot of rules, 613 rules. That's what you have if you're a Jew.
Yes, observant.
Everybody else, 7 rules. Everybody else. And these are rules, like there's a couple in there that I go like, is that really a rule? I think there's like a false idols rule in there, or maybe not, but something about God. But really it's like, don't kill people, you know, don't steal stuff. These are fairly good rules to say like, yes, I'm going to apply the idea that murdering people is not a good thing. And I'm not going to let people murder me and my family and stuff like that. How did I start talking about Judaism? I don't even know what the fucking point was of that.
Well, I'll just jump on and just say that. I'll just jump on. I sound like you're an Instagram guy. I just wanted to jump on here, guys.
Yeah.
Is that spiritually, you know, everybody has something to offer. You know, everybody has something to offer. And if you're not living your best life, you're not offering it to the capacity at which you could.
Yeah.
And when you do end up understanding that your physical fitness is connected to that, that capacity, then a lot of really beautiful things start happening for yourself. But in many ways, maybe, I don't know if it's more important, but maybe more importantly, it starts happening for other people because of you.
Yeah.
And you know, nothing feels better to sleep at night, even more than physical fitness, than helping other people.
Yeah.
It's you know, giving back is the way in which we find true meaning in our life. And you do that by having self-worth and dignity. You do that, with the most impact when you're your truest self. And that comes with understanding that, you know, you've got legs and arms and organs and
I'm a person.
Should be treated well.
Yeah. 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 So I don't know why glutton. I mean, that's the sin that.
Yeah. Or the other way. Like it's, you can find how to be gluttonous in the right ways.
Yeah. And now, I mean, that's what I'm trying to do and talk about it and actually use this to keep myself accountable. And if this conversation helps a person out there, then that's a benefit literally to me.
Yeah, no, it is. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
And now for the Q&A. See, we're kind of like becoming aristocrats now. Right? Did I lose you?
Sorry, you mean in the way... Yeah, I lost you for a second. You mean in the way we talk?
Yeah.
We're getting like real proper with it.
Yeah, should we go from something more punk rock?
Yeah.
And now for the Q&A. No, that was stupid.
I like it.
And now for the Q&A.
Here's one from Jason.
Another Jason.
Another Jason. No one on this episode will know that we just recorded one about Jason.
Is it the same Jason?
Jason? It's a different Jason.
Okay.
I don't say people's last names, but it's for sure a different Jason.
Yeah, we don't want to dox anyone. Okay, do you want to say that part again?
Yeah, let's start again. Here is a question from Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Jason asks, if you could recommend one or two books on basic nutrition, what would they be? I'm a type 2 diabetic here that needs to jump back on the wagon. Let's start again. I have a question from Jason.
Hi, Jason.
Jason says, if you could recommend...
My God. You have a case of the giggles. No, okay. Scott, don't you dare cut all this. This is the part that is real. This is us being real people.
For sure, me being a crazy person. Okay, this is
by
a
the way,
from Jason,
I just want you to know, Paige is laughing at you.
No, I'm not.
It's so mean, Paige. Oh, it's so mean.
My God.
He has type 2 diabetes. What you're doing is mean.
I am not laughing at Jason. I just got a case of the giggles because I feel I'm on the spot.
It's
but
true.
I shouldn't feel that way.
Jason,
okay.
Really, she's laughing at me, and it's humiliating, and I'm just trying to defer and deflect.
That's more like it.
Okay, good.
Okay, so Jason is a type 2 diabetic that needs to jump back on the wagon and wants to know if you could recommend one or two books on basic nutrition.
Okay, thanks for the question, Jason. The jump back on the wagon to me insinuates that he was on some plan and then got off of it. And so I'm, you know, curious what that plan was. And if it was successful, why not just go back to that? Right?
Well, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, we don't know the details. We don't know if it was successful long-term or if it was a short-term thing or if jump back on the wagon just means like, yeah, we don't know.
Right. Okay. So two books. I can definitely recommend books on nutrition. I would say that I have firsthand involvement in a person with type 1 diabetes. I do not have a lot of experience or any really dealing with somebody with type 2 diabetes. I know that type 1 diabetics are immediately put on insulin, and sometimes there are ways to prolong type 2 diabetics or not put them on insulin and kind of handle their situation more through diet. I haven't read any books that specifically deal with that. I have looked at some data that shows that just fat loss for diabetics, type 2 diabetics, is super beneficial. So I think that that would be the thing I am speaking to. I don't have a ton of information on how specifically a type 2 diabetic should eat, but I have read that fat loss is super beneficial. So the books I would really readily suggest are Mike Isretel's The Renaissance Diet 2.0 and Lane Norton's Fat Loss for Life. Those two books are like my Bibles for fat loss. Those are not specific to anything though. So I feel like I'm at a loss here because I want to go like, oh, there's a great book specifically about diets for type 2 diabetics. And I just have no experience with that. So that said, I have read scientific papers that say that there's a lot of evidence that fat loss for diabetics is super beneficial. And so that would be my, as like, listen, again, as not a doctor, not a nutritionist, not a dietitian, that's what my mind jumps to is maybe you'd feel better or be better off or be closer to physical goals if you lost some fat. That's what I go to.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking?
Yeah,
no, that was a very judgmental. Mm-hmm.
No, not at all.
Kind
I was going to say, no, not at all. I was going to say, I would never judge your answer.
You could say like, that's a shitty answer. Try harder.
Oh, okay.
Or like you could.
Let me rephrase then. I thought you gave a great answer. It gives a couple of resources that have been successful for you. As you always say, it's been successful for you. It's not a Bible for someone else. And you mentioned, I don't know what the specific situation here is with, you know, being a type 2 diabetic, but I mean, I've heard you talk about these books a lot and I feel like they're going to be helpful no matter what. And a person, if they have a condition like type 2 diabetes, can take what parts apply to them and obviously leave anything that would be detrimental to their condition. So I thought you gave a great answer.
Okay, good. Yeah, I would also say that I was talking with somebody who has a boyfriend with type 2 diabetes, but their boyfriend was also a Pacific Islander. And when I was saying, like, well, it should all be handled by diet, she kind of put me in my place and was like, you know, there are some genetic predispositions that are not necessarily dietary factors. And that was when I was like totally confused, because I was like, wait a second, that isn't that type 1 diabetes? And she was very adamant that it wasn't. I don't know that data super good or at all. You know, my understanding of it is that type 2 diabetes can be handled through diet and medication that's not insulin. But I don't really know. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? I'm saying that and going like, but then this lady like had contradictory information. And so like, I never pursued that study because I don't have that. And my kids don't have it. And really, you know, I'm not like a dietitian. So
yeah,
I wish I had a good like solution. I wish I had something more profound. I have read that fat loss is super beneficial. And so maybe that could help him.
Well, I think that's great advice. And I think we're stating again for the record, nobody's an expert here in like a trained, you know, medical fashion. And obviously anything should get checked with a person's doctor, especially if you have a condition.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, good.
Awesome.
I feel good about that.
If you have a question that you'd like Ethan to answer, please send it in to AmericanGlutton.net.
But we're both answering it, right?
Well, I mean, technically you're answering it.
All right. You're commenting. Like, you're co-signing the answer.
I'm co-signing.
I just, in the lawsuit, you're going to get named. That's all.
Right. Obviously.
Okay,
obviously.
Good.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee, and as always, joined by my chaperone, Paige Dorian. Follow us on Instagram at American Glutton Podcast. Sincerely.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.